I've been keeping my mouth shut for the last 6 minutes.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
I can't say anything.
A Night of the Seven Kingdoms. That's the name of the episode. I just saw on Twitter.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Episode 69. A Night of the Seven Kingdoms.
I got to compose myself a little bit.
Just finished airing. We walked away mid David and Dan explaining
what we just saw.
We don't need
their information.
Not tonight. We're good.
It's 10:06 p.m. The episode ended 6 minutes ago. I have kept my mouth shut because...
Go for it.
Well, there are so many... It's so hard to sit in this room with you and watch this episode and not say anything about it because it's just extremely hard. And now here we are at the end of this episode. And I just...
Pretty much close to the end of Game of Thrones, just in general.
I really,
if you've noticed,
felt it in this episode. Mm-hmm. I felt it big time in this episode, and there's a lot for us to talk about.
The first thing I want to say
off the bat is, I don't know if I've ever cried watching Game of Thrones, ever, and I teared up twice in this episode. I have never cried watching Game of Thrones.
The Brienne scene,
and the Sansa Theon scene.
Oh man.
Both of those got me so hard.
That's something to really think about when you see Sansa and Theon come together and spending their last hours together and thinking about the trauma that they both suffered at the hands of the same person.
In Winterfell,
not to mention all of their past adding up to that. And
yeah.
I mean, that's really the story of this whole episode with everyone too, right? Man.
Wow. There's so much.
Well, what about Arya and Gendry?
Okay. Can we talk about things we liked first before we get into all the rest of the episode? You made such a great point about, I feel it's the end of a song. It's the end of Game of Thrones. I feel it hard in this episode.
Everyone thinks they're going to die too.
Everyone thinks they're going to die. They're chatting around the fire. They're saying their goodbyes. It's everything that I had hoped for when we sat down to do our live stream on Instagram before we recorded. I talked about how I wanted this to be a throwaway Winterfell episode and not a throwaway and like nothing happened episode, but I just wanted to spend time in Winterfell with the people that we love the most in this whole entire world.
Yeah.
And we got to do that.
So when you said throwaway, you didn't mean throwaway in a negative sense. You meant we only have a few episodes left and I want at least one of them to give me some time. Just give me some time with these people.
Yes, throwaway isn't the right way to talk about it, but that's what I was thinking.
It makes sense when you're thinking about the rest of the series.
Right.
Some of those episodes or some of those scenes or some of those sequences that these characters have gone through, sometimes people question why that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I felt like there were definitely moments like that in this episode where people who are being critical are going to be like, why did this have to happen? This
100%.
Is the final season of Game of Thrones. 100%. You're wasting the screen time with the army of the dead coming on all of this. But it really might be one of the last chances for us to see an expressive Tormund Giantsbane like that.
So funny.
And we might, I mean, he's probably going to die in the next episode, probably within the first 10 minutes or something. And he got to really show his ass in front of all those people.
I'm going to cry like recording this episode. I really am. Okay. I got to get myself together. You can't talk about people dying like that. I'm in a very vulnerable place right now.
It was good.
Yeah. I mean, what's your overall thought? Initial take. While I cry over here.
How about that dragon glass on the battlements? Interesting.
Very interesting.
So that makes me think that the ice spiders are probably going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because that would be so cool if they climbed the wall.
It would be amazing.
If they had the appendages where they were able to, like, the same sort of, I forget what it's called that spiders have, but they stick on to stuff so they can climb the wall just fine. But they get toward the top and they have to, if they're big enough to climb the wall and they're giant and they're the size of hounds, then they probably can scale that obsidian. But anyway, yeah, it's a pretty chaotic end of episode that we had to experience. I'm still processing everything that was happening when I was watching it. And then the White Walkers come and it's just like, we've been watching it the whole episode. We had been feeling that warning of death and hearing everyone talk about, you know, their last hours.
The anticipation.
Yeah. Multiple times. And then finally seeing them, it didn't hit me with the same way that White Walker reveals had before, probably mostly because I had seen that exact shot of the dead leg before.
And we kind of knew we had guessed that was coming. And so I think we were anticipating that.
Yeah. I guess just a little bit of subversion at this point, you know, like the way Hardhome felt, just like when they swoop in with that sort of gritty, realistic thing that reminds you, like when Oberyn's head bursts into pieces and you didn't know that, like imagine how that felt for a lot of people, that sort of thing. I feel like as a flip side to some of the more lighthearted stuff we were getting in this episode, a flip side from that might be when it comes time for the White Walkers to come around, like maybe we see like a shot of the Night King and he looks more deranged and more mm-hmm. sort of in an animalistic beast way,
yeah.
like looks scary and intimidating or something.
Right.
Instead of the sort of same old tracking shot of the we're guys used to from the rock yeah. band with their cool hair.
We're used to the mystical, magical. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just for a second. I know that we don't have to do that, but I definitely got the impression, like with the John voiceover, which we looked at each other when we were watching, which is the only time we did during the whole episode.
No, because I love a good.
Yeah.
We got two voiceovers.
Did we? What was the second one? Because
we got Patrick singing.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
Jenny's song.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
So we got two montages, yeah. which is honestly more than I could ever ask for. He has a really good voice.
And the song was also in the credits as well. I don't know if it's one of those new, like Game of Thrones soundtrack where they've got a bunch of these actual artists, not the composer working on songs. I don't know if it was one of them, but that was a cool touch too. But anyway, what was I talking about?
I don't know. I'm having a really hard time like coming out of my emotions of this episode. And I'm having a hard time thinking about where we want to start because this episode we shot right out the gate. We did not get any hang time. We did not get any moment of Jaime approaching Bran, of them walking into Winterfell, of any looks or stares. The episode starts and Daenerys is giving that line that we saw from the trailer and putting Jaime right on the spot. Mm-hmm. And we're thrust into the episode, which I thought was a very interesting place to start. And from that second on, this entire episode was character after character vouching for each other, reuniting with each other, expressing their feelings for each other, defending each other, spending time together. It was just like this very heavily emotional roller coaster. And I think that overall, and there were a couple moments that that I was like kind of confused about, which I'm so sorry.
I'm going to come back to that.
But like Arya and Gendry was a moment that was a little bit confusing to me. And there's some other things in there that I'm just kind of like, I don't know how I felt about
it. Do you
want
to talk about that? You can talk about it now.
Yeah.
I think that it makes sense.
Of course
that
it makes
she would
sense.
Want to have sex before she thinks she's going to die. Everyone thought they were going to die the way they were talking about it. I mean, and look at Gendry. He's picking up obsidian all day, every day. I don't know if it's on average heavier than glass, but it probably is.
I get it. 110%. I get it. And I'm not saying I didn't like it. It's just we've never seen Arya in a position like that ever before.
She was flexing the whole episode, though. So it only just made logical sense narratively that when she got in that position that she was going to be aggressing like
well,
that.
Well, and we guessed that even the last episode
that
this is something that was going to go down. It's just we've never seen Arya in such a vulnerable yet place of power before. Yeah. And so I just was so, like, my mouth was, jaw was
truly
dropped.
Shocking.
Yeah, just I was like,
truly
what
shocking.
Is going on?
And the nudity got so close. It got so close to being, like, what we normally see with Game of Thrones, where you see the actor's breasts, but they were like, not yet. She still feels like a child. I felt a little uncomfortable for a second because Arya kind of feels like a child to me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But the one thing that Arya did kill it that I loved in this episode, when her "I know death, it's got many faces" line, as she's throwing the obsidian.
That was cool.
Yeah, while Gendry's looking on at her.
Yeah.
That was... But that's Arya how we're used to seeing her. And so I'm more comfortable with her
time,
in that situation.
I was like, oh, so, okay. Once and for all, Arya learned this, like, it must have been during the House of Black and White when she was fighting with the staff blind mm-hmm. with the wave, but she can throw stuff crazy good, and she's probably really good at everything else right now.
She's the best at everything.
Right. She's really good at fighting, and, I mean, it makes sense. It's fun that Arya's good and dangerous. I like that. And now she's not a virgin anymore, so holla.
Congratulations.
Gendry's like, you know, brought his number up to 4, so he's not doing so bad himself.
Man, yeah, that scene was just, I mean, I don't think I hate it. I just was so shocked to be in that scenario.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, things are different. That's for sure.
Wow. Ghost
and
is
her,
back.
And her, well, yeah, let's just talk about that for a second. I mean,
we saw him for literally 30
much,
seconds.
So I don't know what all the hullabaloo has been about, mostly caused by myself, probably.
But we all yelped.
Yeah.
when he was on the screen. Ghost is back. The Night's Watch is here. Well, they're not really the Night's Watch anyway anymore, but gang's all here.
Yeah, you had a pretty... You were like, oh my God, all his friends are together.
I was so amped to see them roll in.
All his besties are here, is what you said. That was definitely the vibe.
Yes, it's like you... I mean, it's a reunion episode. It's moment after moment. Mm-hmm. The rest of everybody rolls up, and there's a moment when somebody... When Sansa tells... Who was Sansa talking to? When she says whoever's... Or there was some sort of conversation. Whoever's not here. It wasn't Sansa at all. Whatever. There's a moment where whoever's not here isn't going to be here. I think it was when Tormund and them showed up. Mm-hmm. They said that this is kind of it. So if... Oh, yeah. Because the Umbers are now fighting for the Night King. It must have been
And they were talking Beric. About... They went around them and that they would be there by... Before morning breaks. Mm-hmm. And that they went around the people. I think I just said that.
And whoever's not here, that's it. Because, and then obviously the way that
everyone
we see
on the way to
Winterfell
is going to be obviously turned into cannon fodder, which gets later repurposed by those guys with really, really, really good wigs. I mean, just classy white walkers coming in hot. How many whites do you think they each have at their command? Because they're going to be taken out and interspersed like throughout the battle, right? We're going to see White Walkers being taken down, and then we're going to see probably like a cloud of whites being taken down around them. Because they,
for sure,
the hive mind technology that we're going to probably see.
Well, and with the plan, we have the plan of how they're going to get the Night King and how they're going to take everybody down is that they're going to lure the Night King to Bran. Mm-hmm. And we get to see the branding that's on his arm. Mm-hmm. And Theon's going to defend him, which...
So much information right now.
My gosh. And then Jon and Daenerys are going to be on dragons, flying close but not too close. And that's how they're going to attempt to lure the Night King in and then get rid of everything. And I can only wonder how the heck that situation is going to go down.
What do you think about that planning scene?
It's unbelievable. And I just... My emotions are everywhere. I feel like last episode I was so amped and like screaming. And this episode, I just feel the weight of everything.
Right.
As episode two, I guess, will do to you. But have all of them around the table and have all of them sitting around the fire and have all of them sharing
crazy
war stories and for Brienne to be knighted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty perfect.
I just felt
Jamie was the one to do it.
And Jamie was the one to do it. I was crying my little eyes out, just sitting on your couch, just crying into my laptop, because it was just such an emotional, and I think that it could vary. The pace of this episode was unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
The pace of this episode, they did not waste any time. We didn't get any chilled out filler moments. I feel like every conversation had weight, every movement had weight. And I think that, of course, if you're all thinking about to die, that that's going to be a normal thing. But I think it could very easily be cliche to jump from intense moment to intense moment. But I don't know. I was buying into it every second of it as they're standing around the table planning and Theon offers to defend himself.
Yeah.
You know, I felt it very heavily.
When all the characters are together and it seems like... Just the who's who, and that it would be really cool if this happened. It always makes me somewhere in my mind like question it. So I have like this little period of not enjoying it as much as I want to. And then I think about it, and then I'm like, well, of course, that's.
Is that how you felt with this episode?
Well, specifically thinking of the opening shot on the room.
Yes.
I just see Jamie and everyone there, and I'm like, this is just all the guys. And then Bran's there in the corner, and he starts to reveal a little bit more about the technology of how his power works. And like you said, he explains the brand and how the Night King knows where he is, but he doesn't, again, really go into the complete detail of what that means exactly or how that works. But I think that we're meant to just think that it's magic and fill in the gaps and... Again, we talked about in our 420 special, we talked about the burning sigil and, you know, obviously where the mystery of that ended. So I think if we applied the same sort of depth to this, like that's clearly what they're intending to do with the magic. And I think that that's fine.
Right. We just don't have time. We don't have time to spend that kind of thing.
Bran's a memory bank for all of humanity. Is that what it is? And so he's been trying to take out all the three-eyed ravens because they have the ability to see events through the trees, through time and space potentially, and even potentially interact with those things through time and space, and that is a way to, or can be used if they, I guess, desire. And I suppose they all have been up until this point, can choose to try and foil the Night King from, and you can't just say the White Walkers or their kind,
right?
Because the Night King is the one who was right. invented, like, and right. who made the rest of them. So specifically this guy, the Night King, to stop the Night King from, again, in this episode, he said spreading all out darkness on Westeros right. and basically shutting everything off. And Sam later reflected that point when he said, is that death then? Is that just the mm-hmm. end? So that would mean all the people that you saw in this episode, all those strange scenes that might have been a little bit on the nose, but for a good reason, I think, to counteract the doom that is approaching. And that's what is at stake, the memory of all that stuff and the ability to have all those things be expressed and whether or not that gets forgotten.
Right.
Yeah.
When we get that, the motive, that more expressly what his motivation is, because we've been talking a lot about, well, what does he want? And Bran says an endless night. He wants to erase this world and I am its memory. So exactly what you're saying, but not only is that what's going to happen, but that's been his expressed motivation this whole time, is to get rid of Bran, because when Bran's gone, yeah.
So he needs to get rid of Bran because yeah. Bran has the memories and the ability to potentially stop him because he can see ahead. I guess presumably the same way the Night King can.
Or because he just holds, or because like Sam was saying, when Bran's gone and he says death is being forgotten. And so the only way to truly defeat this world is to erase what it has been and what it can potentially be. Because there's a lot of moments in this episode where they kind of talk about the past and who they are and where they come from and how they've changed and how they aren't who they are because of, without the past. And I think that the Night King, and the only way for him to truly defeat humanity is to wipe it.
So much of this episode was about referencing those points in the past that sort of like mirrored in a way, like reflected
yeah.
the events from like the first season.
Even from Tyrion the season. Quotes something he said in the past about how yeah. he wants to die.
Oh, yeah. And then Jaime finishes it with yeah. for him. Yeah.
I don't remember the episode exactly, but I mean, word for word.
He wants to die when he's like 80 years old and yeah. something like in like a library or something. Am I wrong?
In his own bed.
Oh, in his own bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
when he's
different.
Drunk, you know?
Maybe his bed, or he could have a library in his bedroom.
Where did you get library?
I don't know. I just thought of like Tyrion smoking a pipe while someone was blowing him in a library.
Yeah. Take like, all of that out and just put them in his bed. And that's yeah. what he was. Yeah. One thing that I thought was really interesting was that Tyrion was continually harping on this idea that they're all going to die at Winterfell. Yeah. And he was like, it's crazy that we're dying at Winterfell, right?
That was such a genuinely great moment.
He said that like 8 times.
It redeemed, well, yeah, by the last one. And the last one, it hit me a little bit softer. Mm-hmm. But that first one, when they were on the battlements and the camera flipped around,
yeah.
I was immediately like, you totally redeemed yourself. Tyrion's back, baby. Like everything switched for him. And he really did knock it out of the park in this episode. Tyrion he had great lines.
Tyrion had I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
He had a great episode. Because before the episode, we were talking on live stream about how he's been, so much of his character has been reduced to these quips and these one-liners, but he's in trouble with Daenerys and he has been making some incorrect decisions, putting his trust in the wrong types of people. He hasn't been giving Dany what she wants. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he really stepped up his game in the sense of he wasn't just a guy for comic relief in the background. Mm-hmm. I felt like he was just written really well.
They all like wove together so nicely. Like the incredible moment with Brienne when a lot of our favorites were there and in front of a lot of the people that we also like and that she's grown to respect, she was able to be given credit where credit's due by someone that she also really likes.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have happened unless Tyrion was there to like sort of nudge right. the moment along in his own way. And they all kind of had sort of like almost a faded role in filling out all of those like sort of personality little gaps that they all needed and within themselves. And that was kind of nice.
It was really nice. I love to imagine while we were watching, I was just thinking about filming that too. Because not only are we kind of enjoying it as a viewer, watch
unless
them
they all
to
hate each
cut
other.
Together.
Be terrible.
Yeah, maybe like, they do.
God, everyone loves this. I mean, everyone's really thinking about all like, this. There's going to be so many ohms for this scene. I hate you guys.
This is so off topic. Whatever. Never mind. I can't talk about High School. It's about High School Musical. We can't talk about it right
one
now.
One or two.
Well, how they just did. Oh, how they did. Not all the people in High School Musical liked each other.
That was a quick turnaround. You're like, yeah, I'll talk about it.
Anyway, I think that if we're going to talk about my favorite places of this episode, the squatter on the fire is absolutely probably going to be eventually with Tyrion is kind of holding court in front of the fire as everybody comes in and out. Tormund was so freaking funny. Jeez. In this episode. He was hilarious. And
what was his best moment?
I took so many notes this episode and they're all, usually I can like point on these big moments when I'm taking notes, but everything happened at once and all faded into each other that my notes are garbage and I feel like I'm so lost.
Well, he had the time where he was talking about when he was being suckled
by a giant.
He killed a giant when he was 10. Do you know why they call me Giants Man? That moment was teetering on the edge of like, where are they going with this, guys? Yeah. What are y'all doing with this? Like, is he really about to? But honestly, what would Tormund do if he thought he was going to die the next morning? Do you think he would give a fuck what they thought?
Well, and the way they were looking at him.
Oh,
it
right.
was, and Dom was looking at him. I think so I'm gonna drink. When he rolls in, Tyrion offers him a drink. He's like, I brought my own.
Oh,
and the
God.
Way he was drinking.
The camera turns and it's this huge horn.
So good. Yeah. So funny.
I mean, but it's also just like ridiculous. But I mean, you know, ridiculous is as ridiculous does.
Tormund's a ridiculous kind of guy.
He's a ridiculous kind of guy.
I thought it was, and he was really laying it on for Brienne, and she was not having
it's
it.
It's the big woman here.
Yeah. She's like sitting between him and Jamie, not sure which way to turn.
And Jamie was like playing it off perfectly. Like, I know that I'm the one that you like, but hey, man, whatever. Yeah, like,
he's being so chill about it.
So
in the
chill
back.
About it.
It was so
ultra
great.
Confident. How about when he talked to her out in the field rather than getting into any of his thoughts? And it seems like that's the direction it's going, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of read my mind, right? About like him and Brienne.
Yes.
It seems like it's going that direction, but he couldn't get into any of his thoughts. So like the next best thing is speaking like militarily, like speaking her language.
They don't know what to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I'll fight for you. And like, that's a great way to sort of like give her like rank and it's like a respect thing that they've been trying to figure out between themselves for so long.
Him knighting her was just in her face the whole time as she the look of awe, and also she never thought this moment could happen, and then it's happening with Jamie, and as she slowly starts to tear up and as he's knighting her and placing the sword on each side of her shoulder, I was like, oh my gosh, is he gonna chop her head off? There was like a 30 split second moment. I was like, he's about to chop
that's
her head
crazy.
Off. I don't know why I felt that, because I was like scared that something crazy was gonna happen.
I was convinced something crazy was gonna happen in this episode.
Me too. So that's why I was like on edge thinking that something crazy was gonna happen. But it was a beautiful scene. And for him to be able to, I wasn't really expecting that to happen. And so it was just this beautiful. All of it was beautiful. This whole episode, I just...
Don't start crying again.
Seriously, I like need to pull it together.
If you want
to
cry, you can totally cry.
I'm trying not to.
This Diet Coke is so good that I might start crying right now.
Oh my gosh. It's just, I don't know. I really feel wrapped up in how I feel about this episode right now. One other thing that we really need to talk about is, well, there's 80 things, but Sansa and Dany and their conversation.
They got a one-on-one.
Yeah. They did get a one-on-one.
That was unexpected. I think that their dynamic was cool, and I think that it was really cool when that, like, the quick amount of respect just to show their levels of intellect and sort of, even in the inflated state of ego that they all kind of have to be in while being rulers, the deflated state of intrapersonal they had when Daenerys rose those points about her relationship with Jon, and Sansa seemed convinced and was immediately like, all right. But right back into that northern moment, that was cool. That was some good writing. I really liked that. And well performed. I didn't see it coming. And that's just something that, you know, even with how many hours we've talked about this story with each other, that I haven't really put a lot of structure around what that comeback would be once all this was said and done, and how much that could potentially matter to Sansa and also to Dany. Even after all is said and done, because the North is a really big part of Westeros, and no matter what, no matter who they are, no matter how much she likes them or wants them to like her, she is not very easily say, yeah, sure, you can, then I will secede the North to you. You can have the North.
Right.
And it's just not going to happen. And you can see those real emotions, the shit that really matters with people. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like the blood behind the skin, you can see it get hot when they're like, this is the stuff that matters.
This like, let's get down to business. Yes, exactly. Niceties aside.
Yeah. And this is a real connection. Subject. This mm-hmm. isn't just about like us living or dying. This is about, you know, what all, this is a part of what this is all for.
Right.
For Danny, at least.
Right. Right. And she's relentless. I mean, she's not going to back down on something like that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
One thing that I really liked in that conversation was them talking about how much they have been through as women. Mm-hmm. And I think that despite what Daenerys says about how they're kind of, they were at odds with each other from the moment they walked in, that they both respect how far they've come mm-hmm. with each other and how much they both had to kind of rise through the ranks and deal with so many different terrible things in order to get where they are. Mm-hmm. And that they both kind of, I really liked that they established this very mutual respect before diving into, like you're saying, this is the real stuff. And this is what Sansa's been concerned about. And mm-hmm. but it was interesting. Daenerys talking about how Sansa says, Jon's easily manipulated, which is what we've been saying. Kind of like, and then Danny was like, well, I'm here. So let's talk about who's been manipulated in this situation because mm-hmm. I abandoned everything to come fight for you in the North. So let's talk about manipulation, who manipulated who. And then obviously Jon and Daenerys' relationship is about to extremely change, which I can't believe that happened at the end of this episode.
Yeah,
but
right?
It really be like that sometimes.
It really does.
So...
Well, you didn't think it was going to happen.
No.
So now that it has, were you pleased with the way that it was carried out? And do you think that those reactions were true to the characters?
Yeah. I mean, I think that Jon not saying anything for the whole episode and avoiding her eyes.
Yeah. Just walking away.
100%.
You grace.
Yeah. So classic Jon.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how bruised he would be if she heard what he said or if he heard what she said to Sansa about Khal Drogo?
Yes. I forgot about that moment.
It was cold, man. But also funny.
But it was such a great connection moment for the two of them mm-hmm. to build this respect and kind of get that cattiness out of the way. Because there's no way that Sansa and Dany are going to see eye to eye on everything. Or there's no way they're going to be besties, especially at this point in the time. But for them to be able to look at each other, I respect you, let's talk woman to woman, but here's what the real issue is, but I don't hate you kind of situation, I thought was really mature for both of them. And part of that is going to be talking about your ex-boyfriends along the way. So
it seems like they're going to survive because there's so much set up about, like when I think about Tyrion, you were talking about how he's dealing with what's going on with Dany, and Jorah came in and had that whole sequence of defending Tyrion.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like something that we want to like be dealing with at the end of Game of Thrones, whether or not Daenerys is like whether or not she wants to keep him his hand, because it's like, okay, if they win, then that's a real thing.
Right.
So maybe they're setting up the seeds for it now is what I'm trying to say.
I think Tyrion makes it.
Because otherwise, what's the real issue?
The people who don't make it are people like Brienne.
Because she was on the front line in that preview?
Yeah, or Brienne, or Theon, or Jorah, or Podrick, or even somebody like Jaime. I mean, these are the types of people who do for sure make it out of this episode are Sansa, Danny and or John or both of them, Tyrion. Those to me are like the ones that make it for sure. The people, because there is a lot of that, like you're saying, this conflict being set up and continually increasing between Tyrion and Daenerys, and whether or not he's doing a good job, whether or not she can trust him, whether or not he's playing for the other side. Is he manipulating her? So I think that that is going to continue to play out. I don't think anybody else is safe in terms of making it. At this point, Davos, all my best friends. This week's episode is brought to you by Sonos.
The experts at Sonos work with renowned producers, mixers, and artists to meticulously design every speaker from the inside out, combining best-in-class woofers and tweeters with proprietary software. The result is an immersive listening experience and brilliant room-filling sound.
Sonos TruePlay puts the speaker tuning capability of the Recording Pros in the palm of your hands, optimizing the speaker sound for the unique acoustics of your room.
Sonos Home Theater also includes speech enhancement mode to clarify the sound of the human voice, perfect for when characters whisper or the action intensifies, or if you want to hear the delightful details of tonight's episode with the crackling fires, perfect for when characters whisper or the action intensifies. Simply turn it on in the Sonos app and never miss a minute of the story.
Sonos works with all your streaming services, and it's easy to control with the Sonos app, your TV remote, AirPlay 2, or your voice and Amazon Alexa. Sonos speakers and components work seamlessly together, making it easy to customize your sound system and expand when you're ready. Simply connect Sonos over Wi-Fi and enjoy listening in every room.
Most of Sonos' lineup are working on AirPlay 2, and we're using the Beam, which is an Amazon Alexa-enabled speaker natively. So you can control it just like it's a normal Amazon-made speaker in that way, but I mostly use it with in conjunction with the other smart speakers in my house, because it works with the iPhone through the same menu that they all work in, and that's really convenient. The app also works with separating the speakers individually in your rooms, and you can adjust the volume individually with all the same functionality that you could do with your iPhone, but all within the Sonos app, talking directly to those speakers, and it works with all your streaming platforms, so it all just works.
It's really awesome. It makes all the difference in the world. Watching Game of Thrones, especially with speech enhancement, has completely changed the game.
Watching Game of Thrones on a decent speaker has changed the game for you, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because there were so many things that I didn't realize that I was missing, to be honest with you.
It's like having a big screen when you're watching. It's like going from an iPhone to watching like a big screen TV.
Right. It's like, that's what it really is supposed to sound like. That's
the other half of the experience I was missing out on. You can go to Sonos.com to order your sound system today. That's Sonos.com. Tyrion seems to be back to being the guy in the show, though, for a second. Mm-hmm. The episode was a lot of really good Peter Dinklage. I mean, the episode was a lot of things, but
him overpouring that cup of wine.
Oh my God.
So good.
In that, just the looks both of them had. I mean,
and Podrick, yes. Podrick looking between Brienne and Tyrion, not knowing who he's supposed to listen to in that moment.
Yeah. Oh, sure, my lord, or whatever.
Oh, it's like, man.
Hell yeah, I have some of that wine. It's so funny because Tyrion, it's just like, listen, you gotta have good times with people if you can. You gotta. And you can't be pulling back on moments where it's like, if you spent a little extra, if you did a little extra, you can make it that much better. Mm-hmm. You can make it that much better. And this is the end, presumably, for a lot of us. Like, the battle has got a lot of facts and figures that aren't in our favor, and
people
that we like are going to die. They're all here.
100%. There's no way. That.
They're like, we're all everyone's favorite person. We're all the most favorite characters in the story. If I want to talk about it seriously and not try to be funny, all those people are there because they're the ones that are still left. And George R. R. Martin wrote a story, and of course it's supposed to tug on our heartstrings, but it's more fun to talk about it, I guess, in a comedic way. At the end of the day, though, it seems like he's back. And, it leads me to believe that he's got a lot to do.
We have a lot to do. We need to see Tyrion.
There's still a lot left to do.
We need to see Tyrion with Cersei, I think.
This battle, I just feel like it's just being set up as a piece so much that I'm so suspicious and leery of it because of probably because of Beyond the Wall, honestly.
What are you suspicious about?
I thought that the big encounter with the White Walkers, and I haven't seen it yet, it's probably going to be amazing. I just imagine it being something that like defeated the scale of the there's a battle in Lord of the Rings called the Battle of Pelennor Fields, what we're talking about. There was a previous battle that everyone references, Helm's Deep, where they're fighting 10,000 of these super orcs.
Yeah.
And they've got their own people, and they've got friends that come later and help. But for the most part, like where they're fighting is a character in it. And Tolkien wrote this really amazing handful of POV chapters that obviously inspires George R. R. Martin in a big way. Right. And there's really great moments of camaraderie and like just absolute like just bombasticness. At one point, they're like two people that were once rivals. One's really short, one's really big. I'm not going to get into any more character details in this because I will talk for hours about
this
it.
This is a Lord of the Rings podcast.
But basically, they start fighting over how many people they're killing, and they're like counting off how many people they're killing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That battle, like I said, 10,000 of those sort of super orcs still was dwarfed. We're talking like 500,000 people mm-hmm. fighting in this battle in the third movie. I was expecting that kind of thing and A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, where it was just like everything else we thought before, you know, Jamie's quoting these battles in the Whispering Wood,
yeah.
like infamous loser, the Whispering
yeah,
Wood,
which is Tyrion's fucking like, hilarious. Cheers.
Fucking hilarious. You know, these are the same kind of idea. These are like skirmishes, pretty much, is what I expected in comparison to what would be the final stand against the dead. I didn't expect it to be so conveniently set up and have like everybody so conveniently like in the right like tunnels to fight. But I guess it has to be scaled for television. I just don't think that George R. R. Martin is going to do the same thing.
Well, I think that, but we're in the moments right before. So I wonder if your opinion is going to change. We don't know how many people the Night King has or how many of the dead are coming.
It looks like a shit ton.
And so
and if they have a bunch of people too.
If we're going to talk about chaos and pieces not being perfectly set, I think that a lot of that is going to be coming in this next episode. I feel like it feels almost too perfect in this mm-hmm. moment because everybody is trying really hard to make it perfect.
Right.
You know,
you want it to land.
Yeah.
You want to land and you want to like get everything out that you want to get out. You want like make sure that the Arya and Gendry thing is settled. We didn't get Sandor and Sansa though. Any kind
we did
of
not
up with them.
We did not get
the two. Not
of
that
them.
They were needed to settle it the same way, but
no,
I'm just
but
saying
we
that
did
they
get
needed to
him
at least
and,
maybe say hi.
Him and Arya.
Yeah.
And Arya that and Beric.
Pretty cool.
I thought was good. But yeah, I think I kind of see you like where you're coming from mm-hmm. 100%, but I'm so bought into it in this
right.
exact moment that
I'm too. They're just feelings.
It's fan service right now, this
you
episode.
Think so?
Well, yeah, but also, I don't say that in
doing
a,
what they can.
Right, and I don't say that in a bad way. I don't necessarily always think that fan service is a bad thing. I uh-huh. think that sometimes it can be used cheaply or lazily. But I don't think that that was what was happening in this episode. But I do think that, I mean, Arya and Gendry is 100% fan service. We don't need that, you know? And so is a lot of these different, so many apologies that have been made from each other with Jaime to Bran and Beric to Arya and... You know, all these I'm sorry's up and down Winterfell. It's not necessarily, you don't need that.
It's an interesting kind of episode to have, though, in the last season.
Oh, I'm like sitting here like deflated balloon because I just have felt so many things.
Right.
So I love it. It's just, I don't know. I think that it's going to make this episode is going to be even more special and even more poignant after we get through the Battle of Winterfell.
Oh,
and
yeah.
we truly understand.
That's way true.
Them talking about how many times talking about how the crypts are the safest place in Winterfell. It came up probably 3 or 4 times in this episode. All I could think about was that's going to be one of the first places to go. Did you ever get that feeling? They kept telling everybody to go there. And I was like, that seems like a bad idea now.
Yeah, that sounds like a, like maybe what they'll do is raise the dead from the inside. I mean, we've talked about this before, and it'll be like a pretty brutal way to say bye to characters that we like. Like, what if all the people that are trying to be safe are just taken out and turned into White Walkers?
Gilly.
Turned into Whites.
Little Paris, Sam.
Tyrion. I don't think Tyrion will stay behind, though. Maybe he will, though.
Yeah, because Daenerys...
Wait, he was on the battlements just then, though.
Yeah, but it was just beginning. I mean, Danny very...
Yeah, but people got all drunk and stuff.
He's a vet.
That's true, though. He is.
He needs to be out there in the thick of it.
I also don't think that that's going to be the last battle of the White Walkers, potentially.
No.
So it's not like limiting scope at all. I just, you know... I really like those huge battles, like the crazy, big, epic, high fantasy 100%. Thing. 100%. You know?
They're going to barrel over Winterfell, and then they're going to do that in King's Landing.
I do think that they made the Battle at the Wall pretty epic, though. even in comparison, like probably, I don't want to say that it was better than the book, but I really liked it. Like, yeah. The way that they capture it in the show.
So good.
Yeah. That's also a very defined place though. Like if, like it's, that's how it actually happened. It needed to happen there. You know what I mean? There was technology around it. That was the same thing with the Blackwater episode. I digress.
What a good episode. One other thing we haven't yet talked about is Missandei and Grey Worm, mm-hmm. and how he tells her he'll take her wherever she wants.
Take her back to Noth.
Yeah, after everything is over, he'll protect her. He'll fight for her. And then as that, when Podrick is singing at the end, and then Missandei kisses Grey Worm goodbye, as he like rushes out onto the battlefield.
Do you think that either of them are going to survive to go back to Noth?
I don't know. Part of me feels like no. I feel like a lot of these, not that any of these characters are minor, but those are all the characters that are in trouble that are going to kill us without halting the story from progressing forward, you know? So, like I said, I think the only people who are truly safe are Dany, Jon, Tyrion.
Do you think that Bran knows the answer to what happens in this battle?
I think he could have the answer if he wants it.
He just said something that made me think that we've been really presumptuous about his power, and that maybe they got a little overexcited in showing his power in the earlier seasons when he was just like, I forget what question it was, but he gave an answer. It was like, I don't know, or something like that.
So you think he doesn't know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think there might be some kind of limitation. I'm not sure.
I think it definitely makes for a much more interesting.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of potential for it to be like a really trippy, crazy, you know, high mystery thing that we've been talking about. That it's probably not going to go in that direction. With Bran having this like almost infinite sort of power, and the Night King having the similar sort of infinite sort of power, but it seems more so that he was scrying with the Green Sight and in the Land of Always Winter, which is the place where the Children of the Forest had the spiral that the Night King was originally transformed. And that for some reason, I guess, when he was in that corporeal state where we could see him in the vision, the Night King could also, maybe it's because of the place, maybe it's because, like, maybe seeing, doing that beyond the wall means that you're actually there. I don't know. But it seems like the Night King, all of his planning that he's been doing has been based on just tracking Bran.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's what Bran made it sound like.
Yeah. So he only wanted to go beyond the wall, or he rather only wanted, it explains why he hasn't led an army past the wall, or try to get past the wall, or try to do, I guess, a more, I don't know, like a better assault since the first season, since we saw the army marching at the end of the second season, because his target has presumably been the Three-Eyed Raven.
Right.
And so maybe he was having a hard time finding him or something, or maybe he didn't know where he was. Maybe.
Or he didn't have, I mean, the only reason why he knows where Bran is because Bran flew too close to the sun and put himself basically in his path.
Right.
And he was able to brand him.
Right. But they were doing stuff beyond the wall though. You know, like the White Walkers were leaving corpses and
for sure
marching around. Maybe they didn't have much of a purpose at that point.
Or they just weren't able to funnel their, because they did not have a specific touch point, they weren't able to focus in on what they were trying to do.
So this is all basically because Bran went to the tree in the first place.
Yes, and
flew too close to the sun.
Idiot.
Jesus.
Isn't that the whole thing though? I mean, we talked. Here's my question is Bran going to make it out of Winterfell? Or does Bran die, you know? Bran dies and then...
It's because Jaime pushed him to.
It's all Jaime's fault. Bran dies and then the world is lost until Sam saves it. Mm.
Why Sam?
Because he writes a Song of Ice and Fire.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
The Night King takes Bran out, and then Bran doesn't have the foresight to be able to figure out what's happening when they continue to march towards King's Landing. And so that battle is a little bit more of chaos because there's less strategy behind it because Bran can't see anything. That's us assuming that Bran can see anything right now at all, which I don't know.
He gives him some idea, though. He's like, Night King's coming out for me, put me here, fly dragons around me, put some of your best guys.
just Theon to defend him.
Yeah. So you think he's going to die immediately? Or?
Theon is not making it very long. I mean, that moment between him and Sansa was unexpectedly so touching. I don't know why unexpectedly, but we talked about that at the top of the episode.
We're just like, I'll be the first to say, I feel like when I see an episode like this, it makes me feel like a pretty shallow person because there's so many things that I didn't foresee coming to be or really give a lot of time thinking about like a moment like that because I've been distracted by everything else.
Well, we're so used to giving and now we get to receive. We're worried about some of the grander intricacies of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Some of these big, broader questions. And we're getting so many storylines tied up with these little bows one after another. It's wild because it's just back to back to back, mm-hmm. resolution after resolution. So, I mean, you look at what's happening in season four, the Theon and Sansa reunion in an episode in season four is the whole episode.
Yeah.
But instead we got everybody.
I think that was probably season five.
No, but you know what I'm saying. I'm saying something as a moment as big as that, yeah. or a weighted as big as that.
Yeah.
Back in the early seasons.
It would have been like worth talking about.
Well, that would have been the whole episode. It would have been
most of what people were sending their owns for. Like, oh my God, can you believe that?
But there's 900s of them.
Exactly.
Tyrion and Bran are hanging out, talking about Bran's strange journey.
It just kept coming.
We get everybody talking.
That was so cool.
Sam talking about how he's like, no, don't forget I'm the first one to kill a White Walker. Him and Jon on the wall. I mean, what?
Yeah. How about the transition from... I think it was the Arya and Gendry when Arya's getting naked. Arya's taking off her clothes and Gendry's like, wow.
He just says, Arya.
Yeah, right? It cuts to them being around the fire and it's like silent for a second. And Tyrion just, it's like, he was like, strange, isn't it?
Yes, it was the perfect thing to say.
I felt like the writers of this episode, or the writer of this episode rather, Brian Cogman, and obviously the showrunners David and Dan, who are orchestrating this whole thing, like had a lot of really pointed expressionism, if I'm using that correctly, with the material, with the stuff that it's just like. There were some moments where they're like, oh, you like that? Oh, you like Tormund, like, being ridiculous or whatever? Yeah. Well, now his drink is literally spilling all over his fucking face. He's going to talk about killing a giant. He's going to talk about the going to sleep with the giant's wife. First off, the audacity to do that. You're going to murder this guy and go into bed with his wife. Bed. And she's like, oh, this must be a little redheaded, bearded baby, like all of our other bearded babies. And he drinks at her tea. He nurses at her tea for 3 months. And that's how he got so strong.
Oh, it's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like it was being used. A lot of it was being used as a tool to kind of, I guess, maybe to talk to us in a different way than we're used to being talked to.
Yeah.
And there's obviously, or not obviously, I mean, obviously we look into things a little bit too much, namely me, and try to distill some kind of greater overall point to this whole thing, life itself, or what was the intention of George R. R. Martin, or what was the intention of the showrunners, or the episode's writer, or the episode's director, or the idea behind this set, or the idea behind this outfit. But I truly do think that there was a lot of really interesting tropes from Game of Thrones that were just kind of like thrown around in like a playful and in like a free and in like a really sort of a indulgent way.
Indulgent. That's what I was talking about, like fans as fan service.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think, like I said, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but it's only going to play well in a moment like this.
It was fun.
It was fun. And they're only going to be able to pull it off without us up in arms at a time like this.
Right.
I think that you take 900 different things in this episode and you place them anywhere else, except for when everyone's about to die. It's like Game of Thrones has gone off the rails and they're just using cliches and yada yada. But
I don't think that that's the case. But
no, I don't think I'm saying if it was done any other way or any other time, Roger. It would have seemed lazy. But I think that all these old trope callbacks, mm-hmm. if we're going to get him, I mean, now's the time to get him. And if I'm going to be like crying in the middle of an episode, it's going to be season 8, episode 2, as I realize that we're coming to the end for the first time, you know? So.
What if it was a really elaborate way to stick it to HBO, who made them split the ending and draw the show out? And they're like, oh, you want at least 6 episodes? Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to have one episode just be nothing but interior shot at the paint hall in Belfast. And your highest expense is going to be flying everyone here, because they will only fly first class international.
Yeah.
And, but at least, you know, we can spend all that extra money on the battles and all that stuff in the other episodes.
It's 1,000% what I wanted. I could not have asked for anything more. That's
awesome. You literally did ask for this kind of
episode. That's literally all I wanted, was this episode right here, right now. And I can already hear people itching for some real action to happen and for something real to go down. But this is all I could have ever hoped for. Saying goodbye.
And wow. Now Daenerys knows that Jon is a Targaryen. It was pretty cool to see Jon say those things.
In front of Lyanna,
to hear him say it and to see it acknowledged. And for both of them to I guess, understand that that was true. And for both of them
does
to
she understand
believe
that
it.
It's true?
I think that she believes it.
A secret note. She says, a secret no one in the world knew except your brother and your best friend. Doesn't it seem strange to you?
They just want their old Jono back.
Yeah.
They're like, please.
She's like.
It's a really good point.
It's a great point.
That point's better than anything I think he has to say.
He probably didn't even look at it that way. He's like, oh, maybe. I mean, it's true. And she's going to have to eventually come around to the fact.
Did he wince or anything? Or did he keep a straight face? Like, oh, shit.
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Honestly, she's right. Face. And the only reason I have John's side is because I have all the information. If I would be, I would be 100% on her side.
It's
be like,
so
oh,
convenient.
Sam and Bran said that. But at the same time, Bran is kind of like a wild card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not Bran. I'm something else.
Drink every time he says
I'm
that.
I'm something else entirely.
But I mean, now.
The John things I do for love.
That was good. Okay, that was so good. And Jamie didn't even respond. He just said nothing.
That was a really telling moment. And so, like, I've been waiting for that for such a long time, since 2011. My life was way different than it is now. That was 8 years ago when he pushed him out that window and said that line. And now Bran has the opportunity to talk about it. And he doesn't. But they get to talk about it together.
They do get to talk about it. And Bran makes a really... Bran handles it like a champ. And I know that he isn't Bran anymore. Blah, 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 blah. We get it.
I'm entirely something new.
Okay, it's like, okay, we get it. But he talks about how Jaime wouldn't be Jaime if he hadn't pushed him out the window. And I'm trying to find exactly where it is, because he just says that Jaime wouldn't have been able to go on this journey and to become something other than this golden-haired lion, as he was talking about with Tyrion, if he hadn't pushed Bran out the window. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything more obvious than that was the catalyst for all of this.
I was going to say it's the same for Theon's journey with Sansa. This is what had to happen for him to get what he wanted, which was to be embraced like a Stark.
Yes.
It's crazy that it had to be so freaking dank, man. Like, it went all the way down into the deepest bowels of your worst things, especially in the books.
Well, and it's for all of them, because Tyrion and Jaime have a similar conversation when they talk about, look how far we've come. Yeah. And they're like, the perils of self-betterment is what Tyrion calls it. And just like you're saying, as we look at where Theon has been brought to, and even like the Hound, Arya is telling the Hound, where have you been?
What are you doing here?
You know, but yeah, I wasn't thinking about that at all, but they've become better people. And in order to get there, they had to go through hell and back to be able to land them right here in the right place at the right time. And so it is really convenient that they're all here at Winterfell, but they didn't get here by riding comfortable carriages from their homes.
Well, change does not come easy. And we're about to see another act, I think, in Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire. We're going to see Jon and Dany, and they're going to have to choose who's in charge. And I think it's going to come to that. I think that John is considering a word, all the words of all those other people that depend on him as well, not to mention who he actually is. And I think that there's a cutting part of it that I think that he doesn't want it all to be for nothing, that the sacrifice that Ned made and what Lyanna, his mom, went through to be with the person that she was in love with. I don't think that he's going to give it all up at the last minute, especially when it is basically the same exact argument that she has in the first place.
Right.
I mean, she's had her own life and she's done things in her own way, but it looks like that's something. I saw a flash of it in this episode, and it looks like that's something that we're going to have to see it through, just like the rest of the stuff.
I think how this next episode plays out is going to really change the tone of that conversation.
I hope they have each other's backs on those dragons.
They better not be infighting.
Can you imagine?
Up there. And then there's like some mistake that happens. There's no way. There's no way that they're up there quarreling while trying to save Bran. There's no way.
Are you doing?
Yeah. All right. I can't believe that I got murdered by this episode. I truly do not know, more than maybe ever in my life, what to give my own to.
I'm going to give my own to Podrick when he was training that other person how to fight.
Yeah. That was really great.
Yeah. I think he fits in with the people quite well. I don't think he's too much of a bother.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait, 1 second. I'm sorry. Also, to Tyrion for pouring that wine. That point earlier, like, I think I got totally sidetracked on, was if always go the extra mile if you can, but especially if it's at the end of everything, just pour all the way to start. Yeah. Just pouring out. Like, fuck it. Like, do it for the laugh. You know what I mean?
So funny.
Like, she says, you want half?
Yeah.
Just make it spill out.
Yeah, anyway. So funny. I'm going to give my own to, I think the only way I can own this episode is giving it to a small moment, which is Davos talking to that little girl. Mm. And she asks, which way should I go? And he says, which way do you want to go? Mm. And that just punched me in the gut as we think about which way do any of these people want to go? And here they are. I don't know. I'm
Games
just,
of Thrones. Everyone's talking about it.
I feel bad that I'm so in my feelings, but here we are.
The show's almost over.
And this sounds so stupid, but I never thought about it. We've never been confronted with it as much as we have been in this episode, that the show is ending.
Well,
I
think it's okay to feel that way because you really do like it. And a lot of people do. And we're all enjoying it together. And it's fun to feel, you know, like something's happening. It's not completely bad and doomed. It's fun to feel excited about something together and to, you know, watch at the same time and communicate about it. It's so much cooler that we get to do it inside of it too. Those little details. It's not just over and then done.
I'm gonna cry on the whole bus ride home and then rewatch the episode 50 times.
Something like the iPhone.
I think more so. I mean, there's so many moments that I missed in this episode because I wasn't paying attention.
Well, we'll be back to talk about it on Wednesday, guys. Thanks for sitting in your own tonight. Been seeing him come in a little bit, trying not to let him distract me at all recording
this
episode.
That's what we're going to do next. Yeah, thanks for sitting in your own, for hanging out with us on Instagram, for tweeting at us, for validating all of our feelings all the time, and that we're all in this together really is the best. I'm amped. This week, midweek, we're going to get back into this episode. And we're going to talk what we think is happening at the Battle of Winterfell 1 week from today, where we will have seen the Battle of Winterfell.
Also, what is Qyburn up to in this off episode? You know, what are they doing down in King's Landing? You're not having any of it, are you? You're fully on. I get it. That's cool. You can.
Qyburn shows up. Qyburn's like the last one to come. He like comes running through the gates. He wants to fight.
That'd be a good scene. He would just have to, it would be tough. It'd be like the Littlefinger scene with him. I don't know if it's going to go well. Anyway, you can write us an email. What do you think? contact@gameofbones.com. You can tweet us @GameOfBones on Twitter. And we're also @GameOfBones on Instagram and facebook.com/GameOfBones. Those are all the social media websites.
And we'll be writing discussion questions probably sometime on Monday. We'll be posting discussion questions on Monday or Tuesday that you can go and discuss them and answer them, and we will bring them up in our midweek episode. So let's chat this one out.
That's it.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Before we leave, we'd like to thank Sonos for sponsoring today's episode.
The experts at Sonos meticulously design every speaker from the inside out, working with renowned producers, mixers, and artists to ensure an immersive listening experience and brilliant room-filling sound.
Go to Sonos.com to order your sound system today. That's Sonos.com.